Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello? Hello? We're almost there. All right. Hey, long time no hear.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well. Super excited to hear you again.
Well, I'm alive. That's about it.
Oh, man, I hear you.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes early yet anyway, so...
Well, I'm going to start recording about 30 seconds. No, actually, right now.
Okay.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition Thursday night here, Wednesday night, excuse me, here at Your Remedies in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're pleased to bring back an information provider from some of our past shows, returning again, very excited on the subject of credit cards, Mr. Michael Maris. My name is Martin. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do were they similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless. And it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedies in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com, if we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on and virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced. The jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of your remedies in the law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremediesinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedies in the Law. And Your Remedies in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremediesinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights, anything that you can think of. If it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much in how you think of a social network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom, it's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Well, maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading. Just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button, fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. Every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night the calls go out over here at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best. And believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen. And when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not at your remedies in the law, anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider. And even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at your remedies in the law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
All right, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the call over at this time to Mr. Edward, and he will introduce our speaker for this evening.
Thank you so very, very much, Martin. I appreciate that. Our speaker will be along in just a few moments. I want to take this opportunity to share with everyone on the call exactly why this particular LLC is so unique and why it is something that you should be riveted to as you listen to what Mr. Slevin is talking about. Before we do, however, we have a first-time caller from Battle Mountain, Nevada, ending in phone number ending in 1193. Would you share with us how you heard about us and what your first name is?
Ted? I heard it from a friend out of Winnemucca.
Okay. Well, I've heard of Winnemucca before, so I think I know who your friend is. And this is Ted, as in Theodore?
Yeah.
Okay. Like teddy bear.
It's
okay.
Been Ted, though.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure that I got this right. I do want everyone on the call to understand one thing. Nothing on this call may be deemed by you or anyone else to be legal advice or financial advice. If you're on the call for legal advice or financial advice, I very politely and respectfully invite you to leave the call. However, we'll miss you. What you will hear is what someone might do where they're similarly situated based upon, a good 20, 30 years' worth of knowledge and doing something a certain way in law. In fact, as Jefferson would call it, quote, knowledgeable in the law and well disposed to using it, end quote. So far, we've had was on another matter regarding correcting your status of the 35 people or so that have already done this. Three of them decide to test it out, either willingly or unintentionally. And in all three cases, the charges went away. In fact, student received the letter that the charges have been dismissed for the benefit of the law. Anyways, so without that, I just wanted to get that part out first. Now, why is this LLC so unique? Every one of us are engaged in commerce one way or another. Some of us are entrepreneurs. Others of us are worker bees. Either way, as an employee, you're raked over the coals with taxes and things and money taken out of your check. By the end of it, you're lucky if you've got, at least 65% remaining, 70% remaining before it's all said and done. The LLC is a vehicle that all businesses understand. And rather than hire you as an employee, they could hire the LLC as a worker and as a contract. They're familiar with this. For instance, if you work in many places, they oftentimes will have a cleaning crew come in overnight. And the contract that they have with that cleaning crew is X amount of dollars a month. And the people that work for the company that does the cleaning, well, that's their problem. Most people don't realize that you have this thing in law called a worker being different from being an employee. And as a worker for the LLC, your particular tax base can be grossly different than what it would have been as an employee. So what Mr. Slevin does is once you have acquired this LLC, he will actually communicate directly with you in conference, of course, with your employer to demonstrate to the employer how it's actually much less expensive, that he's saving money to bring you in to hire the LLC rather than to employ you as an employee. And Mr. Slevin should be going through those details this evening for it. He should have been here by now. I don't understand why he hasn't. I'm going to make a quick segue. Let's see who's here. Kent. I'm going to pick on Kent. Kent, I'm going to need to go get Mr. Slevin. Why don't you I've unmuted you. Why don't you talk a little bit about something that you're familiar with regards to Mr. Slevin, and I'll be right back.
Good evening, folks. Kent? This is Kent.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Kent.
Oh, okay. So I understand. I've known Mr. Slevin for, probably about a year and a half, 2 years. I was introduced to him through a another friend of mine in the Midwest when I was involved in a project where someone was looking to actually retitle their property. It was a property that had a number of problems with it, legal and otherwise, and they wanted to have a different way to structure the entire deal, including the ownership of the property. It ended up that because of other reasons that had nothing to do with Mr. Slevin, we were unable to put that operation together successfully, and it went on to be taken care of in another manner. However, I stayed in touch with him, thinking that what he was doing was of value to many, many people, and in addition to that, that he was also doing something that would make some serious changes or lead to some serious changes in the way people are treated in this country as employees, how their property is treated as far as taxes go, et cetera. And in staying in touch with him, then I eventually introduced him to Mike, thinking after listening to Bernie that there could be something put together here possibly that would be of even greater value than each man or woman, that be Bernie, Mr. Slevin, et cetera, working on their own. As far as my familiarity with having put an operation together with Mr. Slevin, that hasn't yet come about. However, I have been listening to him on a regular basis along with some other people here, and I think that he has something, again, that is of great benefit and that can be even improved when putting it together with some of the other things that Bernie offers or that Mike offers. My experience with all of this is that you need to look at it. You need to think about your personal circumstances. And as a number of other people on the call have pointed out, not directly by saying it, but by their acts and actions and the type of questions they ask and the type of things they bring forward, I think that each person has to tailor this to their own needs. And above all else, they have to do what's comfortable for them, not just what somebody might tell them to do. I think that a lot of people today are making a mistake thinking that they're just going to find somebody that's going to solve their problems, is going to put the whole operation together for them, and is going to move it forward. You need to think about it yourself. You need to put your facts on the table, and then you need to listen to what different people present, and this is my take on how it needs to be done. You need to listen to what the different people present, and then you need to bring that forward with your own set of facts and move from there. That will make you the most comfortable. It makes you a part of the operation and a part of the picture, and it takes away the issue of somebody else is feeding you information and you have to listen to what they say, and when a question comes up, you may not know what to do or you may not know what the right answer is because you yourself are not intimately involved in understanding the whole process. So even when something is laid out as well as Mr. Slevin does or as well as Bernie does or as well as John does or any of the other information providers, you still need to be part of that process. When you're not part of the process, generally the results are not the same as when you are intimately involved in the process. Because I can tell you from my own experience, and again, this has nothing to do directly with Mr. Slevin, but from my own experience, that when you understand fully what you're doing and you can then answer questions and the results, and I've seen this again for myself over and over again, the results are much different than when you're just taking the information from somebody else and trying to parrot it, or when you're coming forth with information that really isn't what you are, because the other side or the people you're speaking to or the people who are your adversaries, however you want to state that, they know the difference from people and they can tell the difference. A lot of these people get feelings, and I've had people tell me that, you know, when I talked to you, I knew that you were different. And the results that I usually get by the way I talk to people and handle them were not going to be the same with you. Now, this is not Uber speaking. This is not me bragging. This is what it means to be intimately involved. I have worked with many people over my lifetime, especially within the last 30 or 40 years, on these types of issues where people had an adversary, and that adversary was an entity or someone that purported to be government. And I've seen people who are just mad at government, or they're upset with what's being done and they want to get even, or they just want to be done with the project. They don't really want to know anything about it. They don't want to get involved. And the results that those people get, and this is not a 100% rule, but this is quite often, the results that those people get are very often quite lesser and not of the same quality and not of the desired goal that people get who are intimately involved in it and understand the whole picture. And I would say that when you listen to these programs, you listen to Mr. Slevin or anybody else, you need to be really involved, and your heart needs to be in this, and you need to be doing this for the right reason. And as Mike said, if you called this program because you're looking for legal or you're looking for an investment advice, you're in the wrong place. I would add to that, if you called because you're looking for somebody to make you free and to do this job for you, you're in the wrong place. Now, I'm not going to say that Mike is going to agree with me 100%, but that's how I feel about it. You need to be 100% involved in this, and this needs to be you. And you will find out when it is you, and you live this, and you breathe this on an everyday basis, not by going crazy, not by being nuts about it and going off the deep end, but when you live and breathe this because you really believe in what you're doing, the results can be much more positive. And in that regard, again, I would suggest you listen very carefully to these people. You ask them questions, and you ask them questions that cause them and you and everybody else that's on this call to listen and to think about what could even be done better or how else it could be done. And let's not just look for some kind of template where we fill in the blank, so to speak, to move something forward. Let's think about it, and let's think how it would be done. Those are the type of questions I tried to ask. And, of course, some of my questions get kind of detailed, and they take a long time. But I can tell you that my experience is when you do that, it causes everybody, including yourself, to think about this. And that's how I would suggest that everybody that's involved in this call move this operation forward. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so very much, Kent. I was not blessed to find Mr. Slevin. I don't know what happened. I pray that he's okay. His associate that he works through and works with, Anthony, is joined us. Rather than Anthony present, however, I thought it would be wise to just go ahead and talk about the three of us, Kent and Anthony and myself, about this LLC and how it's put together, basically, and how you have the anonymity of it and so forth. So everyone, welcome Anthony to the call. And if I see Mr. Slevin appear on the board, you better believe I'll cut in and let everyone know that he's here. Say hello, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great, sir, doing great. You know Kent, don't you? Or do you?
I do not think so, nope.
Okay. No, I do not know
Kent
you.
Is...
Thank you.
All right. So Kent is also... Kent is actually who referred Mr. Slevin to me. So tell us, Anthony, what is so unique about this LLC over other LLCs, and how does that happen? How is it so unique?
So I know a few years back I had ran into a little bit of trouble, and I guess I had a few concerns that my bank accounts were going to be locked down. IRS was going to maybe try to lien, my account or take money. And so to create that little bit of anonymity, the way Slevin's, he is able to create an LLC that he creates it with an EIN number that is not associated with you. And with the business that you purchase, you are actually treated as a member to the business. And so you're not actually the owner of the business, but you operate merely as a member. You'll have the same access and rights as the business owner. And so that's kind of where that anonymity comes in, so where you won't have to take on the responsibility of paying the taxes. I'm trying to think what else. Another way that he has explained it to me in the past. But yeah, ultimately it kind of allows you to be able to have a bank account that doesn't have your name on it. The business name would be where you would be doing business through. So you'd be able to get your checks deposit and operate your bank and use the funds the same way as you normally would, but now you kind of have that protection of the bank account not showing that it's your name. And so when they, you know, if you owe back taxes, things like that, and instead of them being able to immediately try to put a lock or a lien without going through due process, which they have and will do, you know, in the past, I know of people where they will put a lien and lock up your account to where you can't get access to them. And so when they pull their, you know, when they run your social security number through the database to find out where your bank accounts are, they would put a hold and or a lien on your bank account, and it would typically lock up people's funds. And so I think one of the ways that he does that is when he creates the business, he ties you in as a member of the business, and that's the way you would be able to operate it as a member of the business.
Super.
Yep. I hope that was maybe able to give a little bit more insight or a little bit of insight to the way he explains it.
So the issue is that regardless of what's going on in your personal life under your social security number, by having this entity created and operating through this entity as a worker or in whatever capacity, you have your social security number doesn't appear anywhere. And
yep.
in such a way, you're able to start clean through this LLC entity. Would you say that's a correct statement?
Yes. Yep.
Good. Good. So let's go ahead and start with some Q&A, questions and answers. Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen. Press star 2, and we'll go from there. While you're thinking about pressing star 2 on your keypad, those of you on Freedoms Radio, simply look to the center right of your monitor, and you'll see that there is a rectangle, silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side. Left-click into it, and then type away your comment or question underneath and outside of that rectangle. You'll see a place to put your name and other information, then hit submit. Oh, golly, we're going to start with Ted. Brand, wonderful. Thank you, Ted. What have we got for you?
Well, so ranching, I would create the LLC as a member or a worker.
You would be
right?
You would be a member of it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anthony.
No, I'm totally new, okay? I'm totally ignorant, and that's not putting me down. I'm just saying I don't know.
You would just be a member, and so you would have the abilities in the business to be able to open accounts. You would have the ability to sign as the owner. It's kind of like the business owner brings you into the business and allows you to be kind of like a chief operating officer, but you would just still be considered just as a member of the business. And so you would have all the same rights as the business owner. You know, typically in big organizations, a business owner typically can't wear all hats in the business. And so he's not going to try to be the financial advisor. He's not going to try to be the salesperson. He's got to focus strictly on the business running. And so as a member, he would give you all the same privileges and rights to be able to help run his business. And so when they question you, we're asking you, like, for example, if you wanted to open a second credit or, I mean, open up a credit card, or you wanted to open maybe a second business or a second bank account, you would just simply be opening it as a member of the business. And you would not act as an employee of the business because I guess the business probably is not going to be filing and reporting its taxes, because essentially a W-4 is a snitch form anyways. It's going to, you know, tell the IRS who works for the business and how much the business made that year and things like that. And typically you don't, you know, provide those things back to the IRS for them to know specifically what you made and or how much you made. Typically you just run it as a member of the business. So you're just operating as a member, not an employee.
Okay, I think I'm following that. Can I ask a first grade question?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do I set this up? Where do I, like, the courthouse?
So Slevin actually takes you through the entire process, and he will basically, the instructions that he provides are very, you know, rudimentary. You know, they're going to be step one, step two, step three. And so he provides a full service all the way from your, you know, your email, your phone number for the business. He'll set it up and do all the filing so you won't have to do all those things. He'll set up, you know, with the Secretary of State, and he will get the business running for you. And then in the packet and the documents that he provides to you will have all of the steps. And on top of that, he also provides a 1 year of, you know, any type of questions you may have. You're free to give him a call. He's always been very generous with his time. He's always been very helpful. And, you know, I know I've probably, you know, talked his ear off a couple of times. So, but, you know, he's always very willing to give his time and answer any type of questions you have, you know, towards the business, you know, do's and don'ts of the way you want to be able to operate with the M&MB.
Yeah, I can tell you, Ted, that I've processed one package for him already. He's a relatively new information provider. And shortly after I refer to Ted as a student, and Mr. Slevin as a teacher. I do these things to make certain that we can talk about law in an educational sense and not in the practice of law. Anyways, there was initially
can you hear me?
There was an introductory form. Can you hear me, Ted?
Slevin. All right, that
can you hear me?
Hopefully they come back on.
Ted, can you hear me?
No.
I can hear you. I think somebody have used off.
Sir?
Ted, can you hear me? Ted? Ted? Ted, can you hear me?
No, wait.
I'm here.
So it kind of sounds like I'm going to need to get a hold of Slevin.
I'm looking at him all right, he's acting like we're not talking to him, so I'm going to add him to the call and see if I can just dial him in this way. 775. Whoop.
If you can hear me, I can't hear you.
Ted.
There went some.
We can hear.
Okay, so here's the Ted's got a problem on his end. Ted has a problem on his end where we can hear him, but he cannot hear us. So this we're not going to be very fruitful after this. Anyone else have any questions? Press star 2 on your keypad. He just said he's going to call back in again. Let's see what happens. Because these are great questions. I love it when a first-timer comes on the call. As soon as I see him pop up, I'm going to unmute him. Anyways.
Mike, could I add something?
Sure. Go ahead, Kent, please.
Yeah. So I think that we should clarify for Ted's benefit and anybody else that's listening that may not know may have not listened to this for several weeks, that these are New Mexico LLCs, so that when Ted asks, well, how do I do this, or I do something at the local courthouse, you generally wouldn't
right.
be. There might be some rare exceptions where something would
right.
be done with the Secretary of State where you are, but most of this would
right.
be done through this program, and I think that should be made clear to everybody.
Right. Yeah, when I'll be repeating myself if Ted joins us. Otherwise, let me just continue where I was getting ready to explain to Ted for your benefit, for everyone's benefit on the call, is first there was a questionnaire that I received and forwarded to the new student. And the new student filled out, name of business, blah, all the different things that were related to this. And then I returned it, of course, to Mr. Slevin. And 10 days later or something like that, I'm going to say maybe 2 weeks, I received a box in the mail, and in that box was all of the paperwork that brought this LLC into existence. There was a cell phone in there as the business phone for this LLC. And then another week later, there was another box that came in the mail that had the bank accounts all set up. So the student did absolutely nothing except provide the initial information. Mr. Slevin did all of the work in the creation of this LLC, including the bank accounts, the phone number for the business, etc., so that everyone had total anonymity as just someone within the business. So their social security number never came in and never was involved. So that's basically how it works. It doesn't take long, and whether you are doing this as an employee or you want to, once it's set up, have the employer and yourself and Mr. Slevin have a conference call, then we can go through that aspect of it. Mr. Slevin will talk to your employer and show him the number crunching on how it is the employer is actually spending less money in paying you through the LLC to do the work than he would be paying you as an employee. And the other side of it is you're actually making more money as a worker or one involved in this LLC than you would as an employee. So Ted's returned. There we go. Ted, you back?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what happened.
I don't either.
I called you on. Yeah, I also left the call for a second, called you directly to conference you in, and that didn't.
Really... I got it and I answered.
Yeah, I heard you answer. I heard you, hello. Didn't get through. Anyways, let me pick up where I left off. We've had a student go through this that I directly participated in, so I'll share with you my exposure of it. I received an information packet that I forwarded to you that basically was fill in these blanks. What is your name? What is the address? And so forth like that. And
uh-huh.
Once you had completed it, I've returned it to Mr. Slevin, and a couple of weeks later, I received a priority mailbox in the to me, and I went through it and did an inventory of it, corrected and made sure that the inventory that I had was what he had sent. We balanced that, and then I forwarded that to the student. Now, in that box was the LLC. You had mentioned earlier, well, do I have to go to the courthouse and do this, that, and the other? The answer is no. This LLC is out of Nevada, and it's all set up for you. This is a complete turnkey
New Mexico
app. New Mexico, I beg your pardon. This is a complete turnkey creation. You don't have to do anything. It's just that once it's prepared, it's delivered to you, and you go open up that box. You'll have a cell phone in there. Those cell phone will be your business name, business phone for that business, that LLC. And then at the same time or a few weeks later, the bank accounts will be opened for you, and you'll have debit cards, et cetera, and you're off and running. The business is already created. You just have to start operating through it as opposed to how you operated in the past. And however you've operated in the past, if you have any garbage with you from the past, i.e., the IRS is looking to do this or that against you for whatever reason, you're continuing your cash flow streams through this new LLC, and there the two shall meet. They do not connect. So that's all good.
Mm. I see.
Mm-hmm. And if you allow, tomorrow sometime in the afternoon or whenever it's good for you, I'll arrange for a private conversation with you and Mr. Slevin. I don't know what happened. He's never missed a call before, and so we'll go from there. If you're interested.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon about 4 would be great.
That's all right. I have 9:45 my time. Are you 8:15 or 7:15?
It'd probably be 7:15. It's pretty late. To me, it's late. Let me look here. Yeah, 7:15.
All right, so we're 3 hours behind. And what time do you want me to call you tomorrow?
About 4:00 my time.
4, 5, 6, 7. I'll call you 7:00 my time, and we should be good to go. Excellent. Any other questions?
You're out east somewhere.
Yeah, I'm in just south of St. Augustine.
Georgia?
St. Augustine,
sure,
Florida.
Where is that?
Oh, okay. Florida. You have Jacksonville,
yeah,
top right corner.
Yep.
Okay.
It just dawned on me where it is. So.
There you go. That's the oldest city.
Bucked off a horse there.
The oldest. You did?
Yeah, about. I'm not going to tell you when, but.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Right,
we'll go to the next. All right.
No,
you'll hear from me then at. You'll hear from me at 4:00 tomorrow. Then thank you so very much, Ted. Thank you, sir. Next is Ron from Rochester. Go ahead, Ron. Hello, Ron. Unmute your phone. It's working now.
Is this me?
Ron. Yep, that's you.
Axel. I'm on disability, and I don't really have an employer. Can I still use this method?
You can operate through this, absolutely.
All right.
Having total anonymity.
That's cool.
Somebody wants to send you money instead of going into your regular checking account or whatever, you can put it through this business account, absolutely.
Awesome. So this is just a total entity. It's just in the background. Nobody knows about it except for me and the sender.
That's it.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, not that it's going to matter, but just give me a ballpark. How much is this?
All right. You're looking at two prices. The price for what Mr. Slevin does is $7,500. That's the LLC. Now, normally, the way Mr. Slevin has operated in the past, before meeting us, becoming part of this team, at least working through this, Axel would be the one that was doing all of the work. right now, what we do is we actually ask you to purchase two charitable religious trusts and have the two CRTs be 50-50 ownership in the LLC. And the reason for that is twofold. The LLCs, CRTs are non-taxpayers under the Internal Revenue Code. And secondly, the two CRTs fit hand in glove with what's called the Golden Horseshoe that Bernie offers. And Bernie, and that's the entire program where you've got the corporation soul receiving funds from the Private Interest Foundation that receives funds from the parent foreign grantor trust out of Belize that receives funds from the two children that are foreign grantor trusts in Belize that are pass-throughs from the two CRTs that are 50-50 owner of the LLC. And I know that's all sounds like gibberish on its face, but if you diagram it out, you have a horseshoe. Money is being generated under the LLC. It passes through two non-taxpayers, goes to another entity, a trust that has no duty to pay tax. That money is then forwarded to a private interest foundation in Panama under Panamanian tax laws that don't have any tax associated with it. And then it comes up as a donation to the charitable religious trust. So the LLC and the charitable religious trust, the corporation soul and the LLC have no nexus. There is no nexus between them. And that's how that part works. Okay?
Wow. Wow. I'm lost. All right.
It's a
thank
beautiful,
you.
Beautiful, simple thing. Thank you. Thank you,
beautiful.
Axel. Listen, thank just you. So that you know and are not offended by it, I have your name plastered that we originated with all over the place, and I don't have a place to change it. So when I pull up your phone, when your phone number comes in, it comes in under the original.
That's okay.
Right. Thank you so much. Anyone else, press *2 on your keypad. Otherwise, we're going to have an early night tonight, and we'll go from there. Press *2.
I'd like to
check Freedom's Radio. Go ahead. Go ahead, add.
Yeah, I'd like to add something that Anthony was saying, and maybe he would want to comment on it. He likened this to one being the chief operating officer of a corporation. I would say, and then I'd be interested in what he has to say, since there's many different officers in a corporation most often, whether they be the strategy officer, the financial officer, the executive officer, et cetera, in actually administering this LLC, it would seem to me that in many cases you'd be taking the position of the chief executive officer rather than one of the others that are generally sub to the chief executive officer. Could Anthony comment on that, please, since he made the analogy?
Yeah, so I would say the chief executive officer is probably very much the role that you can play, you know, in the business, because essentially the business owner is the LLC, but you would be playing the role of managing and taking care of, you know, the account. So if you wanted to get a new credit card for the business, build out business credit for the business, you know, if you wanted to start, you're essentially making those executive decisions in the business. So if you wanted to get a vehicle in the business name, so now that vehicle is no longer in the public in your name, it's in the private in the business name. And so you would essentially be acting as kind of like the executive officer, making those decisions, purchasing the vehicle, you know, potentially being able to purchase a home. So one of the things that I did is I purchased a home. It wasn't, you know, a massive expensive home, but it was, you know, a $40,000 property. But I acquired with the business. Since then, I've opened up two or three And I probably try to plan to open a couple more. I'm actually currently building out the business credit. I'm going to be purchasing two vehicles with the business. So essentially, you're just trying to stay in private, and by, you know, staying behind the business, you're not, you know, actually being active in the public. And, you know, if the somebody's trying to come after you, that, and that's another reason for wanting to have those trusts. Those trusts will also help protect those assets, because they can also put a lien against that LLC that can provide a little bit of security. So if somebody tried to have, you know, they wanted to come after that house or that vehicle, you know, those trusts can put a lien against those, that business. And so, again, you're in the private operating inside that business. It's not going to be under your name. It's going to be in the business name. So, again, as the chief executive officer, you have all those privileges to go open those accounts, a bank account, a credit card account, go get a vehicle, home, and you can play, again, essentially any type of role in the business that you would like to consider. So if you can call yourself just a member, or you can call yourself a director, you know, you can, I guess, sit in that type of way, I would say.
Well, I had asked you to clarify that, because I thought it wasn't a good idea to leave people with the impression, those people listening on the phone, that one was restricted to the position of an operating officer, because obviously an operating officer very often reports to the chief executive office. So I see the picture as being much broader than just the one, and that's why I wanted you to clarify. Thank you for doing so.
Yep.
All righty. Let's see. We also have now Nicholas from Prescott, Arizona. You raised your hand. Go ahead, Nicholas. Nicholas, we hear you.
Hello.
There you go.
My apologies. I was going to ask, first off, if I understand it, is it correct that it doesn't really matter if you've corrected your status yet or not to work with Mr. Slevin on his LLC?
None whatsoever.
All right. And then furthermore, would it also be correct that one could operate multiple types of business under the same LLC and also do advertisement therein?
Anthony, want to answer that?
What were the last two questions? Or what was the last thing you just said? As far as
so would one be able to do, like, let's say, selling, you know, fish, and then also having, let's say, a landscaping type business under that same LLC, or, you know, work that they provide, or goods or services, and then also advertisement that goes along with that.
So I would say you have the ability to use your business in multiple facets. Me personally, I like to try to keep my name very generic, so it allows you the ability to expand on what it is that you're doing. If you try to stay to a specific, like if you use one of the business names that I thought of was like Trust Realty, that kind of narrows you to a market of real estate. I'm trying to think of like a different name, but if you narrow your name to a specific industry, you may narrow your business. So one of the business names that I used was called Asset Development. And so asset development can be very broad. An asset development can be of properties. It could be of knowledge. It can be of, you know, any type of goods and services. And so I try to keep it in a broad spectrum. you know, where you can utilize your business in multiple ways. And so you can use it for consulting, marketing. And so I would say as long as you're kind of using a name that can fit the style of or the scope of your business, I would say, you know, use a name that can be utilized where you would be able to use it under different facets.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then one more last thing that I thought of. What about, I don't know if you can speak to once one has corrected their status, would there be less to worry about with anonymity? Can you speak at all?
Let me talk on that, if I may.
All right.
Here's the thing. Once you've corrected your status, you are living to them on a different planet. There is nothing within their system that they can do in a courtroom with you without invoking constitutional law, recognizing constitutional law. When you're in a courtroom today, the constitutional law that they recognize or they talk about or whatever, that's all theater. Because if you were in a courtroom today, properly set, it would be an Article 3 court. And the courtrooms that we have today, all of them are Article 1 courts of the United States. So, let's say that tomorrow I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I got a bad attitude, and I'm waiting in line and waiting in line and waiting in line for somebody to get their coffee ordered and so I can get my coffee ordered, and then somebody bumps me and I get really angry and I draw a gun and I shoot them dead. It's all on video cameras and there's no question, you got 100 witnesses of exactly what transpired. Okay? So when they go to arraign me, they're going to do it regardless, but in law, they cannot arraign me under that court system. They can't charge me under those statutes of murder, because those statutes of murder are for United States citizens. Will they do it and shanghai you and keep on moving? Yeah, but you've got all sorts of embattlements that you can throw up to stop the process. You're not standing there saying, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, you can't, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, you can't come after me because that's who I am. You can't do that. All they have to do is come together and organize as an Article 3 court, charge you under the American common law, and you're going to be hanging from the gallows in not too long. So, to answer your question, the first thing anyone should do in their life is to correct their status for all of the reasons imaginable. There are no reasons not to correct your status unless you want to be owned and be property in a franchise of the United States government and play by all their rules, which is like, 90 pounds of rice paper. And just the Internal Revenue Code alone. So, did that answer your question, Nicholas?
Yeah, I think I understand it definitely a lot better. But in a less extreme example, I guess what you're trying to get at is if they don't know who you are, then they can't come after you.
Well, that's what this LLC is about. In other words, any trash in your history has nothing to do with this LLC. And what you operate through and the money that comes through this LLC and that has nothing to do with any liabilities that you may have in your personal capacity. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And you're correcting your status is just one more monkey wrench that's thrown in that makes their life more difficult.
Yeah, I guess I was speaking more to when they were talking about anonymity with it and having one not be known who they were as operating under that.
Right.
Would you say that would still be there or still be advised to try and keep, you know, your personal name out of that same category once you've corrected your status?
No. Because you have the right to contract. Go ahead, Kent.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw your thing light up on the board here. Did you understand? Did I say that correctly?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Nicholas? I said that you have the right to contract, and you have the right to life. So you can operate through this LLC with greater anonymity. If you go into, let's just say that you want to go work for XYZ grocery store, and they want to hire you, and they turn and they say, do you have a social security number? And you get that on the application. You don't fill it out. You hand it back to them, and they say, we'd love to hire you. You're extremely qualified. The money that we've agreed to here is fantastic, but we need a social security number. You're gonna, why fight that battle? On the other hand, you fill out that application, but you also make a note that you'd be filing Nick's Food and Beverage LLC, and pay Nick's Food and Beverage LLC directly. You're not paying me. You're paying Nick's Food and Beverage LLC. And they'll be fine with that. They should be, anyways.
So it's kind of like just to make sure I understand it. No matter what, you still remain independent from that third party or that additional
yes
entity, so to speak.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you. Okay.
Alrighty.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Check Freedoms Radio one more. You're welcome. Very well. Checking Freedoms Radio, refreshing that. No one asked questions there. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. I have received a text from Mr. Slevin. He apologizes profusely. A matter came up that he had to put his attention to, and did not have his phone to be communicating with when he was taking care of this. So he will be returning next week as well. So I thank everyone for joining us. Kent, thank you so very, very much for pitching in here. And Anthony, thank you so very, very much. And I guess until next week, good night, everyone, and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.